All right. Now, back to this, things that weaken. Hopefully you're blessed by this, because once again, in another way, these are the things that we are using to replace spirituality. And that's not good. And unfortunately, many people are still doing it in full force today. We're taking one of these items, and the items are ignorance, emotions, intelligence, and culture. And we're either combining it with or totally using it in place of spirituality. So we're going through it to show us what the Bible is saying about them. They're not bad things. They are things that we're using incorrectly. Amen. If I use my car to run into buildings, does that make my car bad? No, it's just me using it in a bad way. So in the same way, all of these things, and we kind of touch upon how God has given them to us, but to be used based on him. So we've seen the first week, Eve failed by allowing her flesh, what she saw, to overrule her faith, what God said. And that's exactly what we do. We're still doing that today. Bible's clear on many things, and you'll still hear people reason a way around it on why not to do it. Today, the walk is not matching the doctrine. You see in marriages, you see in ministries, you see in how we're doing things, and it's not exactly in the Bible. Why is that? And how come we're not fearful that that doesn't exist? We're just kind of going through it. Everything must be through sound doctrine. And remember, sound doctrine is where what the Bible completely supports, not just a scripture. Because remember, Satan tried to even hit Jesus with a scripture, not sound doctrine. What does the Bible say about the entire topic? One of the main reasons why we do topical teaching here. Man started serving self and avoids sound doctrine. That was a big part of it. Okay, we wanted to make sure I get what I want, how I seen it. So I took the parts out of the Bible that I thought were good, instead of just taking everything out of the Bible, knowing it's God that benefits me based on him. Man has replaced spirituality with one or a combination of ignorance, emotion, intellect, or culture. We've gone through so far ignorance. We're finishing up emotions, and we should be starting intellect today. And these are dangerous. Christians are not to live in ignorance. Right? As you come out of being somebody who's not saved, you come into knowledge. You come into accessing God, who gives us that wisdom and that knowledge that we need. Ignorance is a product of hardened heart, comfort, getting half the story, and being a fool. Okay? And these things are the things we tend. When I harden my heart, that means there's certain parts in my life that I'm just stuck in my way. I know what the Bible says, but there's nothing wrong with this. Or I'm going to keep doing this. Or I'm going to keep thinking this way. That's a hardened heart. Comfort. Nobody said the Christian walk would be comfortable, because comfort is based on the flesh. And the flesh doesn't always want to do what it needs to do. Amen? So we allow comfort to get in the way, getting half the story. The prosperity ministers will only give you the ones that make you think that it is your right to be rich. It makes every Christian think I'm supposed to be extremely rich. And they miss a whole another half of the Bible, which doesn't say that. In fact, it goes against that. And it's not even us. That's not what we're living for, to get rich and being a fool. Remember, especially in the Old Testament, it gives us definitions of what a fool is and how the fool works out and all this. And if I fit into that category, it'll be one of the reasons why I'm living ignorantly. Amen. We must be alert of false teachings and treat the word as precious. Every time somebody comes to me with any idea or anything, always going through my mind, I need you to show me that, right? I have to go looking for it. I'm very careful. Like I said, I hear some fine-sounding arguments, but I got to be careful on what I take in. When I say we treat the word as precious, you'd be surprised how many things we've accepted that are not in God's word. So how are you going to answer that to God? When you say, well, God, I just did this, and I'm following you because so-and-such said this, and when he goes, but where did I say that? Now what do you say next? Amen. Where did I tell you to do that or not to do that? You know, we've taken it upon ourselves to allow the false teaching to make us live in ignorance. We must be spiritual, knowing ignorance is a choice. Okay. I have to recognize I choose to be ignorant or not. All right. You come to church. You come to get information. You study your word to understand the information, and you must apply the information. Now, if you don't get the information, That's your choice. What are you going to do next? Are you just going to go, well, I didn't know? I always said, as Christians, stop playing the victim. It says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So ignorance is something you don't have to go through. All right? We must test everything. I always say, please, after every sermon, next step you should do is when you go home, you should check what I'm telling you. Make sure that the scripture I'm using is in line. Make sure the topic is in line with your studies. Make sure it's fitting the Bible. It should be discussions on, is this fitting 100% what God's word says? And only God given ignorance is required and accepted. God given. What he showed in his words, he said the secret things are for God. That's Deuteronomy 29. And it tells us the secret things are for God. The revealed things are for us to teach and know. But as both Job showed and we see in the Psalms, some things are too wonderful for us to know. You remember those verses? There are some things God just does, and we'll go, God, why? He doesn't answer us because it's way beyond our understanding, right? And that's the ignorance we have to live in which we have to do what he just says because he said so. Last week, all have dangerous emotions, including Jesus. So remember where he says, my soul is sorrowful even to the point of death. Remember, he was made to be just like us. Right? So as a human, he had the feeling of sorrow, even to the point of death. But how he handled it is what's important. See, the feeling part we're all going to get. In fact, that feeling's not even bad. It's only bad if I let it lead me. Did y'all get that? Everybody understand that, right? You don't treat your emotions as a compass, which is telling you where to go. You treat your emotions as a thermometer telling you where you're at, so you can get to where you need to be. Does that make sense? All right. We also see emotions come from and are based on man. So usually what I feel won't be in line with God. It's gotten so bad that we've leaned so much on emotions, some people mistake our emotions for the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had a real strong feeling about something and you go, the Holy Spirit is telling me? And many times I've heard people say that and it's not in the Bible at all. And you're kind of going, that's not the Holy Spirit. And we allow our emotions because it's something I feel strong about. Nothing wrong with feeling strong about it, but it just better be based on God if you do it or not. Does that make sense? Okay, it's just showing you, so be careful on that. Our emotions are our true source of sin. When we saw where does sin come from, he says it didn't come from God. It shows it doesn't come from the world. It shows it doesn't even come from Satan. Sin comes from us, the desires that battle within us. So if I know it comes from me, I have to keep me in control. Satan gave us the lie of, I can't help it. Okay? And we took that lie with, I tried, and it's just too hard. And so instead of me realizing, you know what? I have these desires. I want to check everything with God. Right? I'm not going to do it because I feel strong about it. I'm only going to do it because he tells me I can do it. Right? My urges and all that other stuff. And that's what's destroying us. Emotions are fine. But we are to be in control, not emotions. God gave us emotions. He wants you to have different. That's why I may like chocolate ice cream. Somebody else may like vanilla ice cream. You have two different feelings, right, about it. Doesn't make one better than the other. Amen. It's just how I feel and how you feel. And those are things that are disputable. So we can eat what I like, what we like, and go on with that. But it doesn't control me. I'm not going to now go through all the earth and get rid of all the vanilla ice cream and only want chocolate ice cream or something. You know what I mean? Something crazy because it's based on how I feel, not on what he says. Or just because I feel it, I can still do without it if God tells me to do without it. Fasting is a good thing to go through because fasting, you're still going to have the emotion of hunger. Do you understand? And it is. It's a desire. Emotion is nothing more than a desire. Emotions are the source of the corruption of the world. In other words, what corrupted the world? We did. Does it say that in 2 Peter 1? All right? It lets us know a corruption in the world caused by human desires. The corruption happened, and we keep corrupting the world based on what we want. Do we really go and vote for somebody to glorify God, or do we vote somebody to benefit us? If we're being honest, do we? You know what I mean? Do we really do stuff in life to glorify God, or do we do it to benefit us? Unfortunately, that's our desires. And we allow that to come in, and the emotions are the things that do that. Uncontrolled emotions weaken the effect of the word in our lives. If I don't control my emotions, the word will do absolutely nothing for me. You'll come to church, and if I'm an emotional person, in other words, what defines me is my emotions, you'll hear it, you'll understand it, it'll go away. Remember he said it'll choke the word and make it unfruitful? That's why you have some people that their intent, they're listening, nothing. Because you're emotional. None of us in here should be labeled emotional. We should all be labeled spiritual. Did y'all get this? Right? A weakness I may have is emotion, so I may have to put extra check on that. But if I'm still emotional, that means my emotions are leading my way. And Satan's like, I'm going to trip them all over the place. I'm going to hurt their feelings. I'm making them feel good about this. And they're going to keep going through it. And they're the things that weaken what the word does. The word represents a seed. It's up to you what type of soil you are, what that seed does. Did y'all get that? Okay? So if I don't have it in the right way, it will not grow. I'll hear it. I'll say amen. Absolutely nothing. God allows situations in life to test if we are leaning on emotions or faith. Only faith will allow us to live a godly life. Like I said, he will allow. Now, I don't know what anybody's going through, but none of us are going through half of what Job went through. And we have something that Job did not have. And that's the Holy Spirit, full access to that. Do y'all understand this? And he allowed him in the situation, but what kept Job where he needed to be was Job's faith. Do y'all get this? Faith is, God said it, I'm going to do it. I may not understand it, I'm frustrated, I can't take it sometimes, but I'm going to, God, because of what you said. Does that make sense? All right? But if we leave it upon emotions, it will guide you away from God all the time. It's a very common practice, right? The minute life takes a turn, you'll see people leave God. Some think they're doing it out of a tantrum. You know, ever see kids when they throw tantrums, I think they're hurting the parent, right? And they don't know they're in for it, all right? And they're only hurting themselves. So in the same way we as Christians throw our tantrums out of emotion instead of by faith going, my father knows exactly what he's doing, right? When they say yes, you can do it, you're praising them. But when they say no, you're praising them. Amen? Any attachment to the world disconnects us from God. How emotions play in this is because that verse says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is in him, is not in him. Now, we're going to go over that more when we get to the culture part, but I want to explain something. That word love in there is agape. It's telling us not to agape the world. Now, when you first think about it, you're like, wow, I thought agape love was unconditional. Well, no, it's not. It's God conditional. So I'm not supposed to love the world, but my emotions will make me do it. Right? That's why you see people doing stuff to the world as being Christian, and that's not our intent. They'll try to save a world that's going away instead of saving the people out of the world. Did y'all catch that? So when I attach myself to the world and I do what the world says is good deeds and I feel good about myself and all this good, and God said, that's not what I told you to do. Amen? So the second half of emotions will show us what we need to do to keep our emotions in check. First of all, we must focus all emotions to Christ. Focus all emotions to Christ. Now watch how we do this. And he explains this very well in Philippians 3, 7 through 11. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So now, whatever I felt strong about, it's meaningless when it deals with Christ. Does that make sense? It's absolutely, and I have to say that. I have to express that. Anything that was great to me, that meant the world to me, and that can be a thing, situation, or a person, right? They go in order that I may have Christ. Now, just to kind of give you a background to it, if I have Christ, it's going to take care of those things the right way. I tell parents this all the time. You try to love your kids despite God, that's abuse, right? However, if you love God, then you're going to love your kids the right way. That is the only way to love your kids. Do y'all get this? But too many people go, no, I got this. They think because they're your kids or because you had them, I know what's best, and you're destroying them because you're doing it your way. And if we could have done it our way, we wouldn't need Christ. So it's letting us know, I have to count it a loss if it goes against Christ. Right? If something that's very strong to me, I see it making me do something that the Bible says not to do, immediately it's a horrible thing. He continues, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Nothing will get in the way of my relationship with Christ. That's going to church, understanding his word, growing in his word, applying his word. Nothing will get in that way. You know, today we get too busy. So if we ask the question, what makes us so busy that we don't have the relationship with God? And then we forget, who is our true provider? Right? And sometimes we'll say, it's my job. You know, God is the one who gave you the job and the ability to do it. If he said, okay, let's stop today. Now what? Not busy anymore. We come here to understand how I'm supposed to function focused on him. A lot of us have our lives all planned out, and he keeps putting these things in the way, and it doesn't work out that way. Why? Because you're not the one planning your life. I'm supposed to check with him. So I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Our main goal, in life is our relationship with Christ. That should be everybody's goal. I should raise my child to know Christ. Now, when I know Christ, everything else falls into place the right way. But when I make Christ just one of the items in my life, I'm lost. And that's what the majority is doing. We make Christ a part. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to make money. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. And I'm going to go to church. And we make the I'm going to go to church thing the separate thing that I do to pat myself on the back. Instead of, I'm going to serve Christ going to school, if that's what he wants me to do. I'm going to serve Christ working where he wants me to be. I'm going to serve Christ in a marriage, if that happens and how it's supposed to work out. I'm going to serve Christ with my children, whatever the situation. Y'all see where it goes? All of it will always be serving Christ. But if I'm not doing it serving Christ, if it gets in the way of serving Christ, it's a loss. It says, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. You have subconscious where the emotions hit, and then you have your conscience. So your conscience has to go no to where your subconscious is going, but I want to. And that's the battle you're going to have to go through. You have to consider them rubbish. You have to say, this is horrible. This thing is bad. I have to get rid of them. Do you understand that? He even said, remember the verse that says, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. The important part of that is you'll consider that your relationship, even with your kids and with your parents, as rubbish in order to get to know him and in order to have a true relationship with your parents and your kids. Okay? A lot of people think they have a loving relationship. And once again, it's either abusive or it's keeping them away from God, right? Okay? You don't have that in mind. You wouldn't think it. It says that I may gain Christ and be found in him not having a righteousness of my own. God didn't make me to be the righteous one. He made me to receive his righteousness. Do y'all get this? I can't be righteous. Nothing about me is righteous. Nothing about you is righteous. But I'm living to gain his righteousness. Once again, we tend to challenge God because we think we're right. Think about it. We adjust things in our lives because we think, well, God, you might have missed something here. Instead of going, I want to go the right way and you're it. It says, of my own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. In other words, the only way I get righteousness is totally depending on Christ, allowing his righteousness to come to me. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. If I train or live in a way that I'm living by faith, everything else will fall into place. Okay? If you train your children to live by faith, everything else will fall into place. But are we doing that? Are we doing that with ourselves? Think about your retirements, your job decisions, your relationship. Is all of it done by faith or is it done by desire or emotions? Y'all catch this? Okay. You have to make sure it's in line with him. And watch what he says here. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. This is him having his priorities straight. That's my goal. When somebody says, if that's not being broken, other things that happen in your life will fall in line with that. But if you allow other things to mean more than you, then you're headed down the wrong path. You have control to do this, as Paul is showing here. Amen? But you got to consider them bad in order for the goodness of God to come through. Only God is good. God has given the remedy to resolve out of control emotions. Here it is. Watch where you're going. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. That's the first thing. Now, we stop there because a lot of times, once again, that's where medications come in today. This is where we're allowing other factors to come in, not us being, because we allowed anxiety to define us. Think about it. We get worried. We get depressed. We get frustrated. We get all this stuff. When stuff happens in our lives and we go through this stuff, that's all form of anxiety. His answer was, don't be anxious. That's the first part. First of all, stop. The minute you start, what am I going to do? This is not going right, and this is not going to, there's something I got to do. And he shows it. But in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So I got to first pray. This must be a daily thing, talking to God. Petitioning, lay it all out. Petitioning is another way of saying, plead your case. Put everything out there. You understand that? You know, when Jesus was asking him to pass this cup, he was saying, if you could pass this cup, that's in petitioning, saying, if you could, you know you could do all things, God, pass this cup, right? But not my will, but your will be done. He made that clear. And make sure you thank him. Thanksgiving is so important in there, where you're saying, whatever your answer is, I'm thanking you ahead of time. I'm letting you, I thank you for whatever's going on in my life, what your answer is going to be. Now, what he doesn't say, okay, when it tells us to present this to God, present your request to God, we want it to say, and he will fix it. That's what we want it to say. You know, we think if I pray, petition, and thanksgiving, then he will fix it. It's not what it says. It does something, and I'll explain why. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why is that so necessary? Because he told me to endure hardship. He told me to count it pure joy when I go through trials. So if I have to go through them, why would I want him to fix them when it's the thing that's teaching me? Right? So I just need peace to guard me to stay in Christ when I go through it. Not get me out of it. Do y'all see this? You know, we tend to go after, just get me out of the situation that's worrying me, instead of, okay, God, I'm going through this thing and it's going to worry me. Help me not to be worried while I go through it. Help me not to be stressed out while I go through it. Allow me not to be depressed while I go through it. If I do this, he will give me a peace that makes no sense, is what that means. When it says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, people will try to explain it to you, it'll make no sense. I'm watching this person go through it and they're still at peace. What is going on? And not just that peace, not human peace, because human peace is based on a situation. It's a godly peace while you're in the situation. You're in this storm, and you still can sleep with no problem, like Jesus, because it transcends all understanding. And it will guard your hearts, which is your purpose, and your mind, the path you take to stay in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do. You don't want to do things emotionally. That's what happens when you get anxious. Think about some of the bad money situations you did in your anxiety. What you've done when raising your kids in your anxiety. Job decisions you made in your anxiety, right? Some drastic moves, and you'll go, well, you know, it was just bad, and we had to. I'm just as much as blame. I've done this too. Instead of going, well, did I do this? Really, did I do this? Is the question we have to ask. Give it to him the way he's saying, with thanksgiving. Also, be in control despite the emotion. Watch how he breaks this down. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be, everybody say be, joyful. How often? Always. Now, did it say to feel joyful always? No. Once again, feelings are just what you think you are, what your feelings desire. But you must be joyful always. I just disconnected any cranky person out there that has attitudes and they think, well, that's just the way I am. No. As a Christian, you should never walk around with an attitude. You should never be angry or mad at stuff. You have to be joyful. Be joyful always. He says, pray continually. Even I, at times, sometimes go, why do I need to pray? Right? I'm sure others have been out there. You're like, I keep praying for this. I don't see anything happening. But going against the emotion, you do it continually. Right? So I'm going to be joyful all the time. I'm going to pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. I remember we used to, one church I went to growing up, we used to have testimony. And the bad thing about testimony was you only heard the desirable things. Right? You didn't hear somebody get up and go, man, there's a hardship I'm going through. Praise be to God. And everybody went, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, no, that didn't happen. You always heard when it turned out desirable. Sounds good. And then we give God the glory for those, right? But that's only part of all. Right? I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. What some people should have said is, pray for me because God's working with me. Right? Hey, y'all, I'm counting pure joy because I'm going through another trial. You're like, amen. Right? Glorifying him and just giving thanks that he's now working with you and continue to work with you. How many of us do that? Or are we just, oh, come on, God. No, I ain't telling the people that. Right? Because we only look at our desire instead of all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's one of those things where he gave us his will, we totally ignore it. Still today, only hear people giving updates on the things that are desirable instead of giving updates on the things that aren't and still giving God glory. Amen? Quiet amen. I hear you. All right. And remember, it's spiritual, so deal with it spiritually, not emotionally. Now, we know what this is saying, and we understand how the world deals with it. So why are we still dealing with things the way the world does? Look what it says, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, if I stop there, we look around, we go, no, we do. Sometimes Christians are worse, right? We still do it the same way the world does. We still do some dangerous things because of our emotions and not spiritual things because of him, right? We still snap out. We still make bad decisions. We still spend our money wrong. We still do things bad. It says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. It should say the weapons we're supposed to fight with, because this is what we're supposed to have. One, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. When you hear the word addictions, that's what that is. And he said it doesn't just help you in your strongholds, it demolishes them. So we have the power to totally get rid of the things that have a hold on us. Can you believe that? So people are going, then why are we having a struggle doing it? Because we're still dealing with it emotionally, not spiritually. You understand? This is a state of mind. You have to make up your mind to be spiritual. You have access to the Spirit when you get saved. Now you have to be spiritual. That's why he says, since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Why do I do fruit every year? To make you understand to be spiritual. You'll find out, oh, this feeling I have to get rid of this. This intelligence I have to control this. You know, the ignorance I have to feed this. Do you understand this? I have to make sure these things aren't the things that's replacing me being spiritual. And then it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Moving over that in order of my steps, but just to show you, that's the first part of that weapon. So that's dealing with the things outside coming in. Right? I'm going to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So anything from the outside that stops me from having my relationship with God is gone. First weapon. Totally demolished. It's gone. Anything from the outside that stops, hinders, distorts God's word, gone. We don't even acknowledge it. It's gone. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's now stuff coming from inside out. Stuff I feel. So I got to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Everything that I'm thinking, I go, is this in line with Christ? I don't go, I can't stand that person, period. I go, I can't stand that person. Is this in line with Christ? Right? I really want to be with that person. Is this in line with Christ? I want to stay far away from this person. Is this in line with Christ? You see how I'm doing this? I'm checking it, making sure it's in line with Christ. I take it captive. I don't just do it. And then the third part of the weapon, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. What that means is, don't we tend to do something wrong and then we come up with an excuse? Right? Well, you don't know he's going through something. Well, you don't know she's struggling through something. Well, you know, I'm having a hard time here. Well, you know, life changes. And amen. But were you still supposed to do what you're doing? No. Then why are you doing it? Amen. You immediately repent. You immediately attack it when you do something you're not supposed to do. You won't use these lame excuses. Right? You'll go, I was wrong. God, I was wrong. You told me to do this. I did this. And we still like to throw it. But God, the reason why I did it, meaningless. Amen. It's, I'm sorry. And I'm going to do everything I can so it's not going to be the thing that's going to get in the way. So as he shows us, we destroy anything that distorts your relationship with God. Destroy it. You totally get rid of it. Recognize your thoughts and deal with them. Don't let them deal with you. A lot of us are struggling right now because of the things that are on our mind and not the things of God. Right? If I worked out my salvation with fear and trembling, the things I think would be like, let me get away from this. Right? I'm not going to allow this thought to stay in there and to play a part in there at all. And punish every act of disobedience immediately. Right? Punish them immediately. Stop giving excuses. Yes, God, I'm done. Do y'all get this? Okay. So he shows us this. He gives us how we're supposed to deal with it spiritually, not emotionally. We should never base things on how we feel because our feelings are tainted. Now, God showed us this. And there's another verse I could have used, too, when he says evil, what makes a man unclean is not what goes into him, but the things that come out of him. Okay. I think we give ourselves too much credit because sometimes the way we feel and the way we think it's so wholesome and so great. I'm going to go with it. Once again, from the beginning is where it failed. When she saw that the fruit was good for eating. Remember, all this is her feelings from inside. And if you ever go back and read it, in her mind, she probably thought she was doing a great thing. She probably thought, but this fruit's good, and I'm going to be smart, and it's going to help us, and it'll probably help our family. And wait till Adam gets some. And you know what I mean? She started feeling. Instead of God said no. God said no. That's the spiritual. God said no. But God, why would you give us this great fruit here, not let that? Because God said no. Did y'all get that? All right. It shows in Romans 7, 18 through 20. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. That's talking about your flesh. Nothing good lives in you. Nobody is a good person. I don't care if you give me some advice and I like you very much. If it's not in God's word, I'm rejecting it. Do y'all get it? And until you do that, you'll hear people say things. You'll do one of these. Wow, I never thought of it that way. Nobody asked you to think of it that way. What did God say? And that's what Satan did. And that's how Satan gets to us, because he gets to us making me think how I feel about it means something. Amen? Right? My relationship with God is not for me to reason with him to get him out of what he's going to do. It's for me to obey him and to grow in what he wants me to do. So it says, nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. He's like, that's me living based on me. I keep doing what I know I'm not supposed to do. Then I live based on me. And it says, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. If you went to the end of this where he says, well, who will save me from this body of death? Basically, who will save me from me? And it's praise be to Christ. You know what I mean? Understand that he's the one that can save me from me. So only when I'm living completely in him that'll save me from my emotions. If not, I'll reason and my emotions will make sense. Right? The rest of y'all just don't get it. No, you just don't know how strong I feel about this. How many of us we've all been there, especially young love and young situations and young, right? We've been there where y'all just don't get it. We feel it. Man. And then a couple of months down the line, okay, I wish I would listen to you. Well, what just happened? Right? But at the time when you feel it, and think about it, because we've all been there where you've got an emotion and the world just doesn't get it until that fades and you see clear and you're like, what was I thinking? That's how bad emotions are when they control you. right? And you want to make sure you're always in control. Like Jesus, we must recognize the difference between the me emotions and the his will. Okay? There's the me emotions, what I want, I think is great, or the his will, what he says. Luke 22, 42 to 43. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. There's absolutely nothing wrong with asking God for stuff. Nothing wrong. But always recognizing I want you to say no when it doesn't fit you. I'm coming to you, God, not for the answer I want. I'm coming to you, God, for the right answer. Does that make sense? So I'm not praying to you for you to give me what I want. I'm praying to you to give me what is your will. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In this self-centered age that we're in right now, our prayers, we just want them to come true. I go to God because I want him to do what I ask him to do. And we're frustrated because it's not happening that way all the time. Instead of going, praise be to you, God, for not doing it, because that must be your will, not mine. And then it said, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Remember that feeling, that emotion he had. He kept praying to him and put out what he would like, right? If you are willing, take this cup from me. That's his petition. His prayer is the time he's taking just to talk to him. But he made very clear in his petition, God, please don't give it to me. Remember, that's part of the Lord's prayer. That's why it says, and lead us not into temptation. You're like, God, I'm asking for something, but please don't give it to me if it's not in your will. Please don't give it to me if it's going to tempt me. Please don't give it to me if it's going to make me sin. I'm asking you this. Now, that's what a Christian who's really walking in God will do. While we self-centered, we say, God, just give it to me because I want it. And I expect it tomorrow. Right? Instead of recognizing, no, I'm completely living to you, but thank you for being a father, I can go and make a request. And of course, because you're God, you can say no. So now, intelligence. Now, by far, one of the most dangerous things that's happened to the church is intelligence. Now, you hear some go, oh, that's, how would you say that? Because we're talking about a certain kind of intelligence, okay? When we look at intelligence, intelligence is the ability to learn facts and skills and apply them, especially when this ability is highly developed. What has happened is we allow people who are smart to start talking down God or talking around God. There was a guy who had a television show. I don't think it's on anymore. And which he would answer your questions. And some of them he would use the Bible. Others he would use his intellectual reasoning. And he was a very smart guy. But man, some of the things he would cancel out the Bible. You would hear him clearly say, we don't do that anymore because it doesn't make sense. He'd give this intellectual answer to it. And of course, people are going there thinking, well, he's the guy reading off the Bible. Do you get this? And not realizing, no, he was giving you intellect. The church has allowed itself to be led by intellectuals, not spirituals. They allow people to come in and say, we're going to get rid of this and we're going to add this. And we follow them because they're so smart. And that's not what we are supposed to be looking for. Look what God says. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 21. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So he's letting you know, first of all, to those who don't have the Spirit, this whole Bible thing is crazy. It makes no sense. Right? I was talking to somebody and they said they went and told somebody who's not a Christian the whole part of, if I do anything and it's not based on God, then it's evil. And that person went, that's crazy. That's craziness. And I said, of course it's craziness to them. If I'm not spiritual, spirituality makes no sense to me. You get this? He goes on, watch what he says here. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He didn't say, I can't wait to get these smart people together and they're going to sit down with me at my table and we're going to talk about how to make things right. No. He said, I'm destroying that part. It's going away. He was like, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. That's happening now. It's funny, like I said, you even see it in science, and they had it all figured out how the world started. Slowly, this whole Big Bang thing is fading away because they're discovering things. They're going, all right, that didn't work. But we love it because it's great. We're going to learn new things. And more, they keep getting closer to God, and they don't even realize it. they sat there in this intelligence and put this whole plan together, and we had this computer that showed us it had to be this, and everything fell into place. And when we did it, it doesn't work. And therefore, he said, I'm going to frustrate the intelligence. You have some people that have done stuff in different countries, all the isms, the communism, socialism, capitalism, all the isms are some built from people who call themselves intelligent, saying, if we do this, it'll make the world a better place. All of them are being tried. All of them are failing. Frustrated. Now, we'll blame other things instead of going, no, it just doesn't work. Right? And all of them are falling out of place. It says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? God's saying, okay, you're failing. Come on, smart people. Where are you at? Come on, Mr. Brilliant. Where are you at? It says, where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? If I become intelligent, despite my spirituality, I'm doomed. They're going to have the hardest time. A lot of them get mad at religion, especially Christianity. They hate it because they want to use their brilliance. They think they're so brilliant. Then they die. If they were so brilliant, they still live. Did you ever think about that? A lot of stuff that they're so brilliant at doing, how come they're not solving some of these major problems? And why are we getting more problems? It says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. Remember that song, somebody, was that song that everybody was talking about? Reckless, yes. And they say, why would they use that? Do you notice how God uses foolishness when he talks about his word? Because he's saying, compared to what the world is going to see it as. He was like, instead of hearing this brilliant man come and show you on this blackboard all these equations on why you shouldn't follow God, he wants to take when you get up there and say, he died on the cross for me, and the world goes, that's foolish. He's like, but that's what I want. But only spirituality understands the true brilliance in it. If not, you're still struggling with it. Because you're trying to figure it out in your own head. You're trying to do it your own way. It says, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. I had to be very careful with this just in regular ministry as a Christian. Because when I was young, I used to try to use intellect to minister to people. And he was like, I didn't ask you to do that, Keith. Very clearly, you understand that. You're going to go in and you're going to cause confusion. Just give them what I said. Just give them what I said, right? Just do that, and they'll take it from there. Worldly intelligence is not one of the attributes God looks for in us. I've heard people say this many times. They'll see some people that the world esteems and the world holds on high. Man, if we get to be a Christian, you know how powerful we'd be? Not powerful at all. That's what you don't realize. I think we hold him up high because the world holds him up high. Yeah, this man is brilliant. This, you know, Stephen Hawking and Einstein, at least Einstein before he died, supposedly started connecting with God. I don't know what happened. Stephen Hawking immediately, and he was called the smartest man in the world. No God. No God. You understand that? Okay? And understanding that, we miss out on, because of that intelligence, you have people that are going to hell not realizing how crazy or how foolish that is. It shows us in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. I heard a minister one time talk about, did you ever go through the line of the disciples he picked? You know what I mean? Maybe you had one or two that came from what we call high places, but the rest of them, like fishermen, they were low positions that you wouldn't say, these are brilliant men. And why? It says, not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world. And we still live to gain some of the things that the world says is great before we allow God to use us. Have you noticed that? We still go in the wrong direction instead of being led by him. It says, God chose the foolish things of the world. This is one of those times where I like being called a foolish thing. The world look at me and go, oh, Keith does it this way. Why am I doing that way? Because the Bible says. Keith is following this. Why is he doing it this way? Because the Bible says. You see how this works? In other words, that's foolish to the world. Right? When they see me at work not reacting like them, and I shouldn't be, you understand? That's foolish. And that's who God chooses. The one that chooses to follow him, not the one who does it what the world thinks is great. He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. The problem is you get some ministers that think God picked them because of their PhD, because of their brilliance, because of their experience, because of their travel. And God said, you do know I don't need any of that. In no way am I canceling out school. School is very important. However, in order for us to minister, you don't need it in that way to make you the minister God wants you to be. You need God. Do y'all get this? Okay, be very careful, because you get some, once again, that hold themselves up high based on the stuff we get down here on the world. So the world will hold you up instead of just realizing I'm just going to trust in God. Everybody in here has the ability to understand the word as much as I'm understanding it or anybody else is. Everybody does. I hear some people go, well, I'm not you. Or, and I hate it when they use the term Bible scholar. I'm not a Bible scholar. Everybody who's a Christian is a Bible scholar. Amen. You just choose not to be. You all have full access and the ability to access. Now all you have to do is access. He said he did. He chose these low things, so I can't boast in me. There's nothing that I did to make me understand the word in order to be used by him. I just allowed myself to be used by him. Nothing brilliant about me. No great speaking about me. Nothing about above. It's just God used me. And you look at those groups, they weren't all highly educated. He made that very clear, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. Where a lot of people think they are what they are today because they worked hard. Working hard is nice. Nope, it's because of him. Because I put a lot of time in. Putting a lot of time is nice, but it's because of him. Y'all get this? Okay, it's only because of him. All that stuff is great. But if you don't have him, I don't care how much time you put in it, you won't get it. You will not get it. Understand that. There was a class I was taking. I remember I used to pray, and God helped me with it, and it was not clear to me. And what it taught me was, if he doesn't want me to get it, I'm not getting it. Did y'all get that? Okay? Sometimes we think, no, if you just put your mind into it, think about all that stuff is great, but only God will allow me to know or not to know. Only God. I have to depend on him. It says Jesus who has become for us wisdom from God. That's the only true intelligence. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. He's all of this to us. It says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Only thing you'll hear me say is, I'm allowing Christ to work through me. So in a nutshell, this is not on your papers, so you might want to write it down. We do not want others to see our intelligence, but to see our dependence on God. Did y'all catch that? We do not want others to see our intelligence. I don't want them to say, well, that Keith, man, he's this and that, and you know he's done this, and he has these degrees, and he has this stuff, and all this stuff is great. He's so brilliant. I just want to hear them say, he follows God. He does exactly what his father tells him. His dependence on God, right? I remember when I was younger and somebody said, Keith ain't going to do that. He's one of them Christians. I went, amen. Amen? Yeah, I think they thought they were insulting me. And I was like, yep, you're absolutely right. I won't do it because I'm a Christian. And I made that clear to let them understand. It has nothing to do with what I think or what I've done or what I can do. It all is dependent upon him. Amen? Now, there will be those that teach God's word with things added to it. That's a danger in intelligence. That's why he said in 2 John 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. This is a common practice that's happening today. They'll know the Bible, but they'll write other stuff, and they want you to follow it along with the Bible. Very dangerous. Look what God says. It says, whoever continues in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. Okay? It makes it clear. It says they do not. If they run ahead and does not continue in teaching Christ, they do not have God. In other words, they're not a Christian. You're condemning yourself. God is not impressed because we're adding new things to a finished word. God knows what he's doing. He didn't make a bunch of brilliant people to tell God what he did wrong. And that's what people think. We're in this era right now that's beyond what the Bible. Oh, see, that's foolish talk. And you got people that are adding to it, and we're allowing them because we like what they're saying. But the key is they'll start off being in it, but they won't continue in it. They'll run ahead. Yeah, the Bible says this isn't this. Make sure you're doing that. And you're like, wow. And they're like, God gave me this extra thing you're supposed to do, or this thing you can ignore, or this thing we're not doing anymore. But not based on God's word. And we'll be so in awe of their intelligence, we let them do it. Worldly wisdom tries to impress, while godly wisdom is edification from God. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:12-13, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. Now, what he's saying is, and I have to say this as a minister, you have to say this as a Christian, I don't deal with people based on how I see fit. I deal with people based on God's holiness and everything that comes from God. Y'all catch that? Because sometimes we deal with people on how we feel it. That's our intelligence. That's wrong. And what Paul says, no, you're only going to see, and it should be all of us, how we deal with you is godly. This is why all of us should look the same when we're dealing with others, right? But when we start adding our own intelligence, I just went there and I told him, and I did this, and I did, and all this is, where is that at? Why are you doing this? There's one verse that's very clear for us to be gentle, and you got some people that are so abrupt. I told him, and I did, and the Bible's very clear. If all of us did what the Bible said, we'd all be on the same page, and they would get the same reaction from all of us, because it's coming from him in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. I can never snap out on somebody because I'm no better than them. God's grace told me that. I can never be disappointed in somebody because I'm just as much as a failure as them. God's grace told me that. The only thing that's keeping me is God's grace. So all I can do is encourage them back into God's grace. God's grace told me that. My intelligence is, how dare you do this? What is the matter with you? You know better. Instead of, in different situations, I'll probably be doing the exact same thing. Y'all see the problem? For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And what he's showing you here is you have some people that write books that put you in so much awe, and you're already thrown off because they're so brilliant and they're this and that. He's saying, no, we need you to learn this. The Bible's not written in a way to impress you with their brilliance. It's for you to be fed. Amen? Now, God gave us intelligence for a reason. There's a godly reason he gave us this intelligence. Proverbs 15, verse 14 says, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feed on folly. So this is, remember I told you when I put these up here, I'm showing you the reason why he gave us. Our intelligence was for us to be intelligent enough to seek God. That's what your intelligence was supposed to be. It was supposed to be smart enough to know you're not smart enough. Y'all get this? Worldly intelligence went the other way. Godly intelligence, the intelligence he gave me, made me go, ooh, let me stop. You'll see a situation before it comes because you're walking by faith. Your intelligence will tell you, I got to use the Bible. If you're using the intelligence God gave us, okay? The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. So you're in the word. And when you don't understand it, you're asking questions, right? It says, but the mouth of the fool feeds on folly, in which they just say what they think. It's what I believe. It's what I think. Never checked on it. Wasn't quick to listen. Wasn't slow to speak. Very quick through your anger. True intelligence is taught by God and displayed spiritually. So it says in 1 Corinthians 2:13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by spirit. Now, this is necessary because, like I said, even some of the schools that are Bible teaching schools have turned so intellectual and they left the spiritual. Now, people are going in there to become philosophers and not ministers. They get them in there and now I can make my own ministry. And with their ministry, they try to make it in line with God. Now, I don't talk about following God. They think it's equal to God. And they'll write their own books and they'll give you their own ways and tell you their own strategies. Why? Because they're successful and you need to follow them. And nowhere does God say that. the things we get have to be out the Bible. You get that? If we're really following these schools, what they should be is teaching the Bible in its fullest extent, because they're words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. We would just have that. When people start adding other stuff, you corrupt the word. It becomes impure. All right? And this is a common practice in which people are adding junk to a precious spiritual word. And God hid the spiritual truth from worldly intelligence. We're going to close on this one. It says in Matthew 11, 25 to 26. At the time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. So not only can't you get it, God hid it from them. So anybody who really has this intelligence about them and thinks this stuff is foolish and you're living based on it, you can't get it now. If you think you're so smart. Now you lost access. He says you hid it from the wise and the learned. And some say, is that fair? It is fair, because I'm not supposed to be living based off of my own anything. I'm not supposed to do anything based off my own anything. Never, ever should that ever be the guide to anything. I don't make sense of it based off of how I see it and how I feel. I guide it off of what God says. It says these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to what? Little children. Little children. Think about little children. Is they start off not knowing anything. Right? Even these brilliant ones. You see the one, I think he's going to college. He's like 8 years old or something like that. He still was an infant. So he started off knowing nothing. Do y'all get this? Little children, you just receive what's given to them. Take what God says. Not add to it, not take away from it. And he made clear, yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. Our goal is to continue on understanding intelligence next week and then moving on to culture. Amen?